Tonight we're in Matthew chapter number 25, and we're going to look at verses 31 to 46. Now, this isn't technically a parable, but there are some parable-like verses in these passages. So that's the reason why we're looking at these verses tonight. Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46. Look with me in verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Now remember, on Sunday night we were reminded that that takes place after the 7-year tribulation. The Lord returns, he sits upon his throne, and he rules upon the earth. So that's the context of these verses. Verse 32. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and we gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? Verse 40, And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them that are on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in a prison, and did not minister unto thee? Verse 45, Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into, what are the next words? Everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need your help as we look at your word this evening. We thank you for the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the future that has been foretold in your word. Thank you that we can be excited, we can be stirred, we can be challenged this evening from your word. Help us, we pray. May your Holy Spirit, Lord, be our teacher and guide, and work in our hearts and lives, Lord, to honour you this evening and through our lives, we pray. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. Now, as we look at chapter 25 of the book of Matthew, you remember 24 and 25 are dedicated to telling the future of the nation of Israel. So remember, keep that mind frame on, that we are looking at the nation of Israel. We are looking at the future events to come, and we need to see these verses from a Jewish perspective. You know, if we read this with the church in mind, or our day, we would be pretty confused. What is this speaking about? And here we are dealing with a prophetic event, a future event. As I said, it's not a parable per se, but there are some verses in there that are like the parables. The Lord uses an illustration of a king, and he speaks about those who helped him. And so these are kind of like parabolic verses, you might say. So let's look at what we can learn from these verses this evening when it comes to the sheep and the goats. What is the Lord saying here? What is this event? Well, Roman numeral number one, the time of judgment. Let's look at the time of this judgment. It is a judgment between two groups, the time of the judgment. Notice there, verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory. Has He come yet in His glory?
Not yet.
Remember, He revealed His glory upon the Mount of Transfiguration. And some of His disciples caught a glimpse. Now, that's the glory. One day He will come in. The Lord will return physically, visibly, and powerfully to the earth. The second coming of Christ. Now, remember, just before the Lord Jesus Christ returns, the armies of the world are amassed, and they have joined together, banded together, in the battle called Armageddon to destroy God's people, to destroy Israel, to destroy Jerusalem. And just as they, this unspeakable multitude comes upon the city of God, that's when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And the armies of the Antichrist, who wanted to defeat God's people, would be defeated by God. The Lord Jesus Christ will return. And following that event, and of course all those in that war will be destroyed, the Lord will sit upon the throne of David. Amen. Remember, some of you have read Isaiah recently, chapter 7, 8, wonderful prophecies of the Lord. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder. Remember, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. The Everlasting Father. And remember, He will sit upon the throne of David, and He will rule. And the Lord Jesus Christ will come to the earth, and then there will be a judgment. That's what these verses are speaking about. And the parable-type verses describe Christ as a king. And He is the King of His kingdom. Amen? The government of man has ended forever. Man's government has finished. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. God will rule. It will be a theocracy. And no one will be able to vote out the Lord, backstab the Lord. Amen. Government will be perfect because God will rule. Praise the Lord. And then He will judge righteously. But what an amazing day that will be when the Lord returns. Amen. Now, you know what's another amazing fact? Who will come with Him? Who can tell me? We will. Amen. The church age saints who are raptured, we come back with Him. And if you are fearful about riding horses, or if you've got a fear of heights, let me guarantee you, those fears will be washed away when we return with the Lord. Amen. We will be riding on horses with Him. He will be in the lead. We will be behind Him. We will see all these events unfolding, and we will be with Him in the millennium. What an amazing reality. What an exciting time. And here the Lord returns. Notice what the Old Testament prophet said in the book of Joel. There in your notes, Joel chapter 3, verse 2, about this event. Of course, it's spread out throughout the Old Testament. Here's what the prophet Joel said: I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Now this is interesting, the valley of Jehoshaphat, where is that? And geographically you won't be able to find that. Zechariah says, when the Lord returns, remember where He descends to, where does He return to? The Mount of Olives. Remember what happens to the Mount of Olives? It splits in two on that day, as we saw in our prophecy meetings. When the Lord's feet touch the Mount of Olives, it splits in two and a great valley is formed. And that's where we believe this judgment will take place, in this valley, as the Lord returns. That's the place of this judgment. Who will be judged? Well, those who are left alive at the end of the tribulation. But think about that for a moment. Left alive. Can you imagine anyone surviving the tribulation who's not saved? That's an amazing miracle. And again, another revelation of the mercy of God. You know, the mercy of God up to the very last minute to give space and time for sinners to repent, to reject the Antichrist, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, I think of Ruth. She was a Gentile, wasn't she?
Yeah.
And she saw in Naomi and her family a God that was real. And by the way, it wasn't the best example. Now, that doesn't approve of Naomi and her late husband's example, but of the grace of God, amen? God's mercy in saving sinners. But she had to make a choice. I believe in the tribulations, people will have just the same choice. Will they see that there is a real God in the lives of the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, and say, your God will be my God, and repent of their sins and be saved? Or will they worship the idols of gold, the Antichrist, like Ruth's people worshipped the Moab, you know, the Moabites worshipped child sacrificing gods, and people will be saved. People will have the opportunity to be saved. But there will be some that will be saved, Gentiles, and then there will be unsaved Gentiles. Now there's a third group. They won't be judged, but they'll be present. They're described to us in verse 40 at the end. Remember, the king says, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren. Who are these my brethren? Well, remember in Joel, the verse we've just read, I will plead them there for my people, for my heritage Israel. The third group present is the nation of Israel, saved Israel. They will be there. They won't be a part of the judgment, but they are described here in these verses. So just like a shepherd will divide his sheep from the goats, the Lord Jesus Christ will divide those who are saved. They will enter the millennium, the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Those who are unsaved will be cast into a place of everlasting punishment. Let's explore these verses more. We've seen the time of this judgment. Notice the testimony of the saved. Roman numeral number 2. The testimony of the saved. Now, what is this parable teaching us? Well, the sheep are those who are saved, Gentiles who are saved. Notice verse 37. They differ from the goats because verse 37 says, then shall the who? The righteous. Then shall the righteous answer. Amen. Now, why are these righteous? Because remember, there is none righteous, no, not one. That's what the Bible says. Is there a contradiction? Then shall the righteous say unto him. Well, remember what the Bible says. For Christ became sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. When the moment when a sinner repents of their sins and puts their faith in Christ for their salvation, his righteousness is imputed unto them. His righteousness is given to them. They are covered with the righteousness of Christ. So here we see saved Gentiles. These are the sheep. These are those who the Lord commends. These are those who were surprised by what the king said unto them. Now the king said, well, you fed me, you clothed me, you visited with me in prison, you ministered unto me. And they said, well, when did we ever do these things? What are you talking about? They were surprised. Now the king said, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of my brethren, ye have done it unto me. What was he saying? Well, you see, those who are saved and live at the end of the tribulation, their faith will be evidenced by their testimony, will be evidenced by how they treat my brethren, the nation of Israel. You see, those who are alive at the end of the tribulation, it will be obvious who is saved and who's not by how they treat the nation of Israel. Remember, the armies are amassed to destroy Israel. The armies of the Antichrist, those who are in allegiance to the Antichrist, to the devil, they will want to destroy Israel. They will not love his brethren, the Lord's brethren, the nation of Israel. And so, if we back up for a moment, remember, who will be preaching the gospel during the tribulation? The Jews. Amazingly. 144,000 Jewish witnesses, flaming evangelists, will preach the gospel. So when Gentiles get saved, what do you think they're going to think about the Jews? Are they going to hate them?
No.
Absolutely not. Do you hate the person that led you to Christ? No, you love them. Amen. Thank God for them. Amen. And there will be a wonderful fellowship and spiritual bond between saved Jews and saved Gentiles, and they will be persecuted together. In fact, they'll visit them in prison, they'll minister to them, they'll clothe them. As the Antichrist pours out his fierce wrath upon Israel, there'll be saved Gentiles like you and I that will help the Jewish people. And their faith will be evidenced, their testimony will be evidenced by the fact that they love the Jews. They helped the Jewish believers in that time. And so here we see they are saved by faith, but the evidence of their salvation is a changed life. Amen? That's what these verses are teaching. Their life was very, very distinctly different in the tribulation from those who were not saved. Now remember Rahab. The Bible doesn't tell us that Rahab knelt down, she prayed a prayer, and then she said, "Hey, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven." No, it doesn't. Interestingly, the Bible says Rahab evidenced she had saving faith, that she was saved, by doing what? What did she do? Well, here came my brethren, the Jewish people, to Jericho, the spies. You remember she hid them. Why would she do that? Well, she was one of them, by faith. She wasn't a Jew, she was a believer. She evidenced her faith by her actions. Likewise, in the tribulation, perhaps the greatest time of persecution, true believers will evidence their faith by their actions. And it reminds us of a very important Bible truth. James said it about Rahab. If we back up, we'll see those verses in chapter 2, verse 30. Faith without works is dead. If we say that we have faith, that we are saved, but there is no change in our lives, then that faith that we claim to have is dead. We have no salvation. The Bible says the evidence of whether or not we are truly saved is if we have a changed life, if there's been a change. So when the Lord separates the sheep from the goats, amen, it'll be very obvious by the lives that they live that they are saved. Now let me say this, they're not saved by works, but their works evidenced that they didn't just pray a prayer, amen. They didn't just call out to some rock star Jesus and say, "Hey, I want you as my idol." No, they repented of their sins, and they put their faith in Christ as Savior. And sadly today, we live in the last days apostasy. And what do we see today? We see this costless, weak, unrepented, self-centered messages about me, myself, and I that have no power to save and every power to blind people and to keep them from becoming sheep, keeping them remaining as goats. That's what's happening today. So if we are saved here this evening, amen, we need to stand out from the crowd. You see, these sheep stood out from the crowd. I wonder, do we stand out from the crowd today? Are we willing to stand up for the gospel? Are we willing to face persecution? And you know, none of us have a perfect testimony. Doesn't matter how good we look on Sunday morning, none of us have a perfect testimony. We are sinners saved by grace, amen. But we need to guard the testimony we do have, amen. That's what we can guard. We can't change the past. We know the Lord forgives us, but we need to guard the testimony we do have and press on and make a difference in this day for Christ. The world needs to see Christ in us. The world will certainly see Christ in these sheep, in these Gentile believers. Then we see, lastly, the tragedy of the lost. The tragedy of the lost. Obviously, the goats, those who were not saved, they hated the nation of Israel, persecuted them, rejected them, hated them. And that's the evidence of the fact that they never were saved. Notice what the unbelief cost them. Again, we see the reality of hell. the reality of hell, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, verse 46, but the righteous into life eternal. Now, verse 46, the parable has ended. That's an account, not a parable. Verse 46, these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. If we look in verse 41, what does the Bible say? What was hell created for? Who was it created for? The devil and his angels. Amen. And you see, those that follow the Antichrist, those that follow the devil, those that love the world, those that love their sin, will go to the place where the devil goes, the place of everlasting fire. And that is the tragedy of the lost, the tragedy of unbelief. And as Christians today, thank God we won't be there during the tribulation period. Thank God that we won't have to face those 7 years of horrific persecution against God's people. But as we think about the day we do live in, let's seize the opportunity, amen, to warn people and to win the lost, to preach the gospel. That's our wonderful blessing and opportunity. And I think about these tribulation saints, you know, it's obvious that these Gentile saved Christians help these saved Jews, you know, they work together, amen. That's what one of the lessons from this parable, from these passages, they work together. They work together in helping one another and witnessing together. And in our day, in the church age, God's plan for that working together is the local New Testament church. God wants us to strive together, to witness together. And what a witness it is in the community when a church works together and they see a testimony, amen, a testimony of Christ, something different than what the world can see. Let me end with this. I was meditating on the verses in my Bible reading a couple of days ago, and you've heard them before. The Bible says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom, it doesn't say Satan, it says the god of this world. We know that's Satan, but God uses different words. He says, the god of this world hath blinded them, blinded the minds of them which believe not. The god of this world. You see, the devil uses the world to blind. You cannot use the world to reach the lost. It is the gospel that reaches the lost. If we look like the world, we talk like the world, we smell like the world, we live like the world, our gospel is hid. And that was a revelation as I read those words. I'd never saw that before. The god of this world. We need to be different. Distinct. Yes, we will be persecuted, but thank God we can bring some sheep to heaven. Amen. Amen. Some souls. Let's be a witness for the Lord. Let's be different. Amen. For the Lord.